Now we're doing Chassidut and Parashat Chukotai. One of the things Hashem promises us is we'll go on the way of the Torah. God says, I'll walk in your midst and I'll be your God. So the verse says like this, V'natati mishkani betochechem, I will place my inhabitants in your midst, ולא תיגל נפשי אתכם, and my soul will not be repulsed by you, והתהלכתי בתוככם, and I will walk in your midst, והייתי לכם לאלוקים, I'll be your God. Rashi explains, והתהלכתי בתוככם, אטייל עמכם בגן עדן כאחד מכם, in the Garden of Eden I will walk amongst you as though I was one of you, ולא תהיו מסתעזים ממני, and you won't be startled from my presence. Maybe you'll think there won't be any awe of God. That's why the verse says no. God says, I will still be awesome. I will still be your God. So we have to understand what are these different levels. On the one hand, they won't be startled. On the other hand, they will be fearful. They will have awe. We also have to understand our parsha begins with very materialistic things. Im bechukotai telechu, you go in accordance with my way of life, says Hashem, v'natati gishmechem b'itam. I'll give you rain in its proper time. That's physical, that's material. V'natati shalom ba'aretz, there'll be peace. That's physical, material. V'achaltem yashan noshan, your crops will last a long time. And yet, as you proceed through the blessings, umistayim bibrachot ruchaniyot, we conclude with spiritual blessings. V'natati mishkani betochechem, I'll make my presence in your midst. I will walk in your midst. We go throughout the Torah. We don't find such blessings. What's going on in this week's parasha? V'yesh dever bekedem. In order to explain this, we have to begin with introducing kushiyat ha'mefarshim al kol inyan ha'brachot shuvtechu im chukotai telechu. We have to understand all the blessings we were promised if we go in the way of the Torah. What's the Torah telling us? We say, you will not meet wages for your mitzvos in this world. And yet this week's parasha seems to say there will be. So why is it, first of all, why is it that we say you won't see wages for your mitzvos in this world? Because you lose something by it. The verse says, "Vayishman yishurun vayivat." When the Jewish people had it good, their natural reaction was they kicked back like one the dog that kicks its master. The kol hashpat rov bracha lula laavil vayishman yishurun vayivat. When people have it really good, then they have a tendency to be fed up. I don't need this. Uchmo dichtiv, as the verse says, pentochal v'savata. Lest you eat and become satiated, build yourself good homes and be established, and then one's heart becomes arrogant and he forgets Hashem is God. When things get really good, it's very possible to forget God completely. And that's what the Torah promises us in this week's parasha. If you go in the way of the Torah, so then Hashem will give blessings in this world that won't lead us astray. That's not so simple. Most people that have it really good, they're led astray. You could see it in people's children. Just this week, I had the good fortune of meeting someone who spent a number of years in his life being the top scientist in the country. Here in Israel, we have a term called Mad'an Rashi. He's like the head of science in the country. And he has all kinds of different responsibilities. So he's like the chief justice. He's a top guy with a top salary. And this person's riding a bus. And I was told he always rides a bus. He lived most of his life in a caravan. You're talking about the top scientist. Think of a chief justice with a chief justice salary. You're talking 40, 50,000 shekel a month. And paid vacations and everything. And he's living in a little caravan. That's how he brought up his family. So of course he invested what he was making, but his ideals, his principles were so strong, are so strong, that's the way he brought up his family. But most people, they get such a salary, so of course they need a car, they need a bigger house. And then the question is, how do the kids come out of all that? Where do the kids end up? This guy's kids are all wonderful. They've built families. They've built their lives. And you see, they're all people who are productive in society. Very often when people have it very good materialistically, so then their kids are on drugs, they're always looking for the next thrill. It's a huge challenge. Most people have what it says here. Vayishman yeshuvun vayivat. When they have it really good, so then it's like, what do I need God for? In this week's parasha, the Torah says, you go in the way of the Torah, God will give blessing that will not lead a person astray. That's extraordinary. And then the Torah says, from there, you'll be able to grow spiritually. At the end of the day, the materialistic blessing can be supportive of spiritual growth. It's just, it takes a lot of hard work. And that's what the Torah says. I will give rain in its proper time, and I will make it peaceful on earth. So that means it'll all be a blessing which will allow a person to grow to the point where Hashem says, I will dwell in your midst. The work Torat Avot from the grandfather from Lechovitz, he writes like this. It says, V'natati gishmechem be'itam. The word gishmechem ordinarily we understand means your rain. But the word geshem also means material. So natati gishmechem, I will give you the material aspects of life that they'll be aroused in their set time. There are times for, there's a time for everything. There's a time for eating steak. There's a time for having a good nap. On Shabbos, the Rama says we daven later. There's a time for sleeping late. You're supposed to daven at a later minyan Shabbos morning. There's a time for things. So a balanced life means I do what's right at the right time. That's one of the hardest things. You know, we're all good at suddenly doing something, but to have a schedule, to have a regimen, to know when I'm learning, when I'm doing chesed, when I'm doing what, that's very hard. But that's natati gishmechem beitam. He said that's the key here, to have the material world in its set time, and that's the promise that Hashem promises us in our parsha. If you lead life in a balanced, correct way, so then Hashem will help us use the material things in the right way as well, and that's the promise in the beginning of the parasha, and that's what the work Toldot Yaakov Yosef also writes. We read in the Mishnah, Kach darka shel Torah. This is a famous Mishnah. The path of Torah is as follows: Pat bamelach tochel, eat bread with salt. Umayim bamsuah tishte, and drink water in a cheap vessel. Ve'al haaretz tishan, you sleep on the ground. Ve'chayetzar tichye, uvatorah tamel, you live a life that's difficult, and you work hard in Torah. If you do that, you're praised and blessed. Praised are you in this world and blessed in the world to come. So what does that mean, you're praised in this world? You're eating salty bread. That's praised in this world. Sleeping on the ground. That's called praised in this world. So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef explains, if one can acquire Torah internally, to the point where he's eating salty bread, but he's overjoyed with his Torah, so then he doesn't feel like he's lacking anything. So then you'll also feel, life's great, I'm not missing anything. Nonetheless, Hashem says, I'll make it even better in the world to come. You see people that way. You see people who live on nothing and they're happy with it. And that's the blessing of the parasha, that Hashem says, I'll give you blessing in this world, which won't get in your way. It'll be supportive and not contradictive to spiritual life. If a person says, I want to learn Torah, but I want to have a pleasant life as I'm doing it, it's very hard. If a person says, my focus is Torah and I'm happy, I'm meriting to do this, so then, yeah, everything else is secondary. When a person's focus is, I want this physical world, so then the physical world has a greater impact on him. What's the pasuk? We read the curses, right? The Torah warns. So there's a Hasidish vort on this week's parasha. It says, Tichle shana v'kilelotea. We read it now so that we'll end the year, and whatever curses we had to endure should end with the conclusion of the year. We want to leave them behind. Shavuos is like the start of a new year. So, I think it was the Sfat Emet who said, one of the keys in life is that when difficult things happen, you don't give them an existence. If a person walks around thinking about his difficulties in life, then he's creating the difficulty. By focusing on it, so then he's making life difficult. If a person can let it slide and be focused on being a productive, positive person, and all the difficulties are, by the way, they're happening, but his focus is on his responsibility to be productive, so then even the difficult things that happen don't have a chance to take hold and drag him down. I told you guys the story of the scars. I didn't tell you that. Okay. I didn't tell you the story about that. Okay. So I'll tell you two stories. Story number one is about a couple that had a child that was born, wasn't their first child, but the child was born with huge difficulties. And the child was mentally handicapped, and they worked very hard trying to help the child. And we were once sitting on a bench in the hospital when the woman commented, she said, you know, we've reached a point in life where the kid has been institutionalized, and it's good for him there, it's the best thing we can do for him. And now our life can return to normalcy. But there are scars. And we have to continue living life with scars. It's scarred our relationship. It's scarred so many things in our life have been scarred by it. And those scars don't go away. And I didn't know what she meant. I listened respectfully. And I didn't know what she was referring to. A few years later, when she demanded a divorce, I started understanding what she was referring to. I didn't know. Let's pause that story for a minute. Let's go on to a second story. Second story is a family where there was a fire. And the fire was... So it was a family that there was a gas leak in their house, and in the middle of the night there was an explosion. They were able to get the kids out of the fire. Husband and wife were burnt multiple levels to the point where they had to be put in a coma. They spent 6 months in a coma. No one knew if they'd live. And eventually they were rehabilitated and back to leading a normal life. And they made a celebration, a meal to thank God that they made it out alive. And at that meal, so the woman got up to speak, and you couldn't recognize her anymore because everything was skin grafts, like her face, her arms, everything was grafted. They had to put on new skin on much of her body. And her children weren't there. Her children were little kids. And the children walked away with minor injuries. But they, even though they were foggy, they ran into the burning house and saved the kids' lives. And she said, I want to thank God for the blessings we've had that we came out alive. And I know when I walk around, so anyone who sees me takes a double take. Because I want you to know that I didn't have to look this way. Meaning when I first came out of the burning house, a certain part of me was burnt. And I knew going back in that I'm endangering my life. But I have beautiful children to show for it. And when I look in the mirror, every time I look, I'm looking at, in Hebrew they say tzalash. I don't know the English translation. When a person wins, he gets a medal, right? When you win a contest, so they put like a pin with a medal. What's that called? A sign that you won. A badge. What? Yeah, so she says, these are my badges of honor. Every time I look, I say, hey, this is my badge of honor. Look at what I did. I was able to save these precious lives, and it's a small price. These are, I don't look at them as scars, I look at them as badges of accomplishment. And I had to think of, when I heard that line, the two lines. One person walks away and says, I'm scarred. And the other person walks away and says, I have badges of accomplishment. Now, they're both true. A parent that invests in a child that's mentally handicapped, that's very, very hard. And there's no question that that's scarring. The question is, how do you look at those scars? And in all our challenges in life, we have two approaches we can take. Do we look at it and say, fine, this is my accomplishment, right? There was a price that was paid, and there's an accomplishment, and I'm going to focus on the positive. We have a choice. We have a huge choice in life, where we focus. And at any moment, we have that choice. And even after something's behind us, we have a choice how we view it, what we take away from it. Am I scarred, or do I have badges of accomplishment? They're both true. The question is, where am I focusing? The same is true throughout our day. That he's saying over here, Hashem says, I'll bless you, but it depends on how you view the material world. If a person's very focused on the good and the accomplishment and the spiritual, and the materialistic becomes supportive of that, but it's not a focus in its own right, so then Hashem says, I can give you as much material in the world. It won't hurt you. It won't get in your way. But if I'm saying I want to do both, let me have the best of both worlds. I want to learn Torah, and of course, I'm also focused on getting what's good out of that. So then it becomes a focus in its own right. Well, then if that grows, what happens? Then Hashem says it'll start getting in your way. We learned the Ran that says that the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden was the healthiest fruit in the Garden of Eden, right? The Ran said, the problem was that it shifted the balance within man. It wasn't a punishment that once man eats from the forbidden fruit, he would die. It was a natural outcome. If you eat that healthy fruit, your physical body will become a focus. It will become stronger than your spirituality. And then you will be more physical than you will be spiritual. And then that'll drag you to the death. If the soul is sustaining the body, so then the soul is limitless. If the body is going to be more powerful, so then the body is going to withhold the soul from advancing. So that's coming back to our parsha. Hashem says, "Im bechukotai telechu v'natati gishmechem b'itam." Hashem says, I'll help you. If you'll focus on the productivity, the spirituality, the way of the Torah, so then I'll help you keep the gashmiyut, the physical, the material, in its proper balance. And then Hashem says, "Hitalachti betochechem, I'll walk in your midst." So he said, you won't be startled, but you will have awe. There are two types of awe of Hashem, two types of yiras shemaim. There are people who are scared, what we call mizdazim, startled. Now, there's a fear which doesn't work together with love. There's a fear that does work together with love. There was once a parent whose child was doing something very dangerous. Child was 3-4 years old, and I don't remember if the child was trying to stick a fork in a socket, but it was something very dangerous, and he wanted the child to understand that they shouldn't do that again. So The child had been playing with crayons earlier, or markers earlier. They had red color on their hand. And the parent gave him a smack on the hand. Not a harsh smack, but for the child, it was the first time they ever got hit by the parent. The child was startled because they'd never gotten hit by their parent before. And they looked down at their hand and they forgot that they had drawn with a red marker. And they were sure that the parent had caused them to bleed. So the child looks up at the parent and the child is doubly startled. Firstly, because they've never been hit before. And secondly, because they're confident that the parent just made them bleed. So they look at the hand and they look at the parent and they look at the hand and then they wail their head off. Now why? Because until now, all they saw from the parent was love. Now, for the first time, they're seeing something that doesn't work together. The child's right. If the parent would have made him bleed, so then there's something wrong here, right? If you loved me, you wouldn't have done that. Then Tivot Shalom says there are two types of fear. Even in fear of heaven, there's a fear that you say it doesn't go together with love. But then there's a fear that works with love. It says, Megodel ahava la'Hashem itbarach, hareu chas v'yareh melavor neged ritzon Hashem. There's a love that one loves so much that they're fearful not to do something that would be hurtful to the other party. I told you guys, I was once holding a knife or a watermelon. I was in the middle of cutting a watermelon, and my wife asked me to hold the baby for a second. So in one hand, I have a huge knife, and in the other hand, I have the baby. And I'm getting nervous. You know, why am I getting nervous? Because the baby is so cherished that I'm scared if the baby jumps, maybe for a split second, I'll forget that I'm holding the knife. I don't want to hold the baby and a knife at the same time. Am I scared of the baby? No. I have so much love that I'm scared I don't want to even think possibly that I would do something that would hurt the baby. That's the fear of heaven that we're talking about. That's a different level of fear. It's not a fear because I'm scared he'll punish me. It's a fear that when I love that much, I don't want to do something wrong. And that's where you could have fear and love together. And that's what Hashem says in our parsha, V'italachti betochechem, I'll walk in your midst, and we'll walk together. You won't be scared of me, but you'll still have fear of heaven. That's the idea, that the fear of heaven will stem from love. And then, the greater the love, the greater the fear. You don't want to lose it. What he just said is a whole Torah in its own right. This idea of a fear that stems from love, and the fear is I don't want to lose the love. We'll just conclude with a thought that he brings in. He often brings things back to Shabbos. He says, you should know that this level is within the Shabbos as well. Shabbos is the greatest sign of love. The Torah says, Ot hi leolam, beini uven b'nei Yisrael, ot hi leolam. It is a sign forever between us. It's like the eternal wedding band. And Hashem says, In tashiv mishabat raglecha, if you'll withhold yourself from the gate, the weekday gate on Shabbos, so you'll have pleasure connecting to Hashem on Shabbos. So Shabbos is a day where you could enjoy the physical world and enjoy the love, basking in the connection with Hashem. On the other hand, the words Bereshit, it says in Tikkuni Zohar, it says Bereshit are the letters Yarei Shabbat. The letters Bereshit. Now wait a second, if Shabbos is about loving Hashem, then why do I have fear in Shabbos? No, the love of Shabbos is so great that there's a fear, I don't want to lose anything from this. You'll see when you reach the point of engagement, when you reach that point and you don't want anything, nothing should destroy this. You'll consider, who should I bring her to meet? You don't want her to meet the wrong people in your family that'll say the wrong things. There's this concern. You're not scared of her. It's because you love her and you're scared of losing that. And that's the level that was in the temple, we say, V'terav lefanecha atiratenu. We say we'd like our prayer to be loved, sweet before you. We should serve you. We say it every day in Shmone Esrei. Be'yira. Doesn't it bother you how you end Shmone Esrei every day? God, may you rebuild the temple and we should serve you there in fear. Why are we talking about fear? You end Shmone Esrei with fear every morning. So he says, no, that's this idea. We should be able to have love that's so great that the fear will be a fear. I don't want to lose the love. It won't be a fear that's contradictory to connection. On the other hand, okay. 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 And that's the essence of the blessings in the parasha, where Hashem says they'll be able to bring us to both things. On the one end, you don't get wages in this world, but that's when the wages will get in the way. But when a person has the love of Hashem, which leads to that type of fear of Hashem, so then the blessings go hand in hand with the Avodat Hashem. They're not contradictory. And that's why the blessings begin with the materialistic and tell us that they could lead into the spiritual, because that's talking about a life of Bechukotai Telechu, where we can adopt the way of the Torah and connect it, where that's our focus. And then the physical world doesn't get in the way. It's a supportive. It works hand in hand.